Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask your blessings and your presence to be here this morning with us. We ask that you help lift us up as we worship you. Lord, be with us as we receive the word in Holy Scripture and hear the message that has been provided for us. Lord, help us to use that to the nourishment of our spirit and our bodies. Help us to share that with the world. Love the world and love those around us as you love us. We ask all this in your name and we ask in your blessing. Amen. So our scripture comes out of Ephesians 3. And so let's go to the Lord and see what he has to say. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Gentiles and the Ephesians, and this is one of many letters that he has written to them. Let's go and see what God has to say through the Apostle Paul. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God, gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. Now, I want to comment on this real quick as we get into the message. Here, Paul is writing to the Gentiles, to the Ephesians, and he says, God gave me the special responsibility to extending his grace to you. If you get nothing out of this sermon today, what I want you to get from this message, out of this scripture, is you have a responsibility not to hold on to what you're going to learn today. Okay? You got to share it. Back into scripture. As I briefly wrote earlier, Paul says, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to a previous generation, but now by the Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and their prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise and blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news to you. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, Paul says, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here and yours. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, Paul says, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love truly is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory be to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might even ask or think. Glory to him and the church and the Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So again, good morning. Your message title this morning is Immeasurably. So without going into the sermon too deep, DW, it's hot up here, brother. Going into the sermon too deep, you serve a God that you cannot measure. No matter how hard you try, and sometimes we try, we'll talk about it in a little bit, we serve a Lord that's immeasurable. And that, my friends, if you learn nothing else, that's the blessing. That's a blessing that we get to share this morning. All of you in this room likely know what NASCAR is. It is the sport of auto racing, and it's actually called stock car racing, to be exact. In the early years when they raced on the beaches of Daytona, they actually used stock cars. Cars they bought off the lot, souped them up a little bit, tweaked them here and there, and raced them on the beaches. Today they are mechanical wonders with a stock car shell or appearance. In fact, if you really go up to one of them and look, it is a roll cage with a motor and four tires and a shell. And it really doesn't look like the car you could go to the lot and purchase, but it's similar. When I was growing up, the races were action-packed. I actually was privileged to go with my dad and attend a couple of them. They're loud, roaring, hot, cold, however, whatever the elements are, they race, except for major rain. And they were action-packed. And the mechanics could make those cars do all kinds of things. They could set them up to make them turn or take turns, and they would adjust them, and then they made them go faster and faster and faster. And as I was growing up, they were exceeding 200 plus mile an hour in the large tracks around these huge big ovals. And so thus, the cars were built for speed, and they could fly. As long as the drivers could hold them on that oval, they were going to build them so that they could race. And then all along, here it comes. As my dad would say, why in the world would you have a restrictor plate in auto racing? But they put in a restrictor plate. And this device controlled speed and made things a little safer on the track, perhaps. But it brought equality to the track, and it made each model almost kind of do the same thing. Now, they still work their magic, don't get me wrong, but these restrictor plates slowed them down. And they just aren't the same stock cars they were when I grew up. So before the restrictor plate, the mechanical engineer of the machine, they had immeasurable capabilities. They could make these cars do things that we couldn't understand. I mean, they just made them do amazing things. And year after year, they got better and better and faster and faster. Today, I want to share with all of you the fact of our faith using this very racing comparison or analogy. If God represents a fuel tank, and that tank is full and ready for us to use, why does the majority of us spend a lifetime in our faith, in our walk in faith, in our service to God, and we only consume about an eighth of that tank? What's happening in our lives that causes us to only consume a portion of what God has provided? What's going on internally or around us that causes those problems? Friends, this morning's message is all about God's plan for us and how immeasurable that is. And as we talked about in the youth message, it's beyond our understanding. But it's immeasurable. But yet, in our service to Him, we seem to consume and share these blessings through our own personal restrictor plates. There are things we're willing to do, and then there are things that we're not so willing to do, and then there are things that we will not do. Why? Why? This morning's passage speaks to several things as we study Paul's words. The very first thing that stands out is that God accepts all of us through faith. Every single person in here and every single person outside of these walls, He accepts them in faith. Our race, our color, our reputation, our position have no bearing on God's love, His forgiveness, or His goodness. The second thing that stands out to me is Paul is conveying these words to convince the believer, me and you, that they have a oneness in Christ. Now, what that means is that you have a personal relationship with Him and He has a personal relationship with you. And as the young people so eloquently shared, that is love. He loves you and you love Him. And that's personal. And you have, as Paul described in Scripture, a oneness in Christ Jesus. It was apparent at that time when Paul was writing this letter that the Jewish leaders claimed superiority because of Israel's unique relationship with God in the Old Testament. So that's why he was writing this letter to the Gentiles and the Ephesians. But Paul basically says, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. May I remind you that your relationship with God is based on trust in Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with whether you're a Jew or not. He's talking to the Gentiles. It has nothing to do with our personal history or your personal history or your position in society. If we seek God, Paul says, God will find us. If we ask God for forgiveness, He will forgive us. He will grant these things and give us a fresh start. All we have to do is seek it. When we serve Him, He will provide us all that we need for that service. It also goes on to say in this passage that once we are in the family, we are equals in God's eyes. So in this passage this morning, friends, you are considered family of God. You are in the fold. You are the flock. You are everything to God. So this is the point I want to share with you this morning. You and I are in the family of God. We are loved by God. We seek His wisdom, we get it. We seek His forgiveness, we get it. We seek His counsel, we get it. We seek His love, He loves us back. We are in the family of God. We are equal and we are drawn to the well of blessing every day, which is immeasurable. You can't draw it dry. This well is a blessing that is beyond our understanding. It is a reservoir without end. It's always at full pond. No matter how big the drought is, it's at full pond. So let me ask you this question. Why are you restricting your service to God through your own understanding? This is a mistake that we make. You see, we love serving God. We love coming to church. We love being on committees. Well, maybe we do. We'll find out in the congregational meeting how many volunteered to be on a committee. Now, we're good Presbyterians because we have a committee to hold a committee, to oversee a committee, to have another committee. Okay? So we like service. But we restrict ourselves in that service. Okay? It happens. Why are we restricting ourselves to our understanding when the gospel says we're not going to understand it? Why don't we just give it to God, much like the children gave the love to God first that then wrap them all up? Why don't we give this understanding or lack thereof to God and let Him worry about the understanding and we'll just take care of the service? Because that's what Paul is trying to teach us. So let me ask you another question. Can we all agree this morning that the love of Jesus is dynamic and unlimited? Now, usually when someone asks a question, you got to get an answer. Can we all agree that the love of Jesus is dynamic and unlimited?
Yes.
Outstanding. We agree. This is great. We're almost finished. Then as a church, if we agree to this, and we are a church family, a family in the family of God, then let us function and serve in that dynamic and unlimited capacity. Do not bring your restrictor plate when it comes to serving Christ. Let's not settle for what simply works. We like that, you know. If it's working, we're not going to try to fix it. Are we? Or not? Well, it works. Might not be the best, but it works. But that's not what God's asking you to do, guys. He's saying, let's not simply settle for what works. Let's strive to find out what works best. What works better? Don't worry about limitations in your lives. Don't worry about restrictor plates or things you're trying to harbor. Because when you serve Christ Jesus, He's unlimited. He has no restrictions. There are none. So why do we keep putting them in? Let's not settle for the check-the-box attitude. Let's strive for break-the-ceiling attitude. In short, take off your restrictor plate. Throw it away. And consume God's fullness as He has given it to you. The reason that you're being punished with this message this morning is meeting after meeting in church and things that we talk about. And we talk about a lot of stuff. And this ministry does amazing work. Amazing work. Hats off to everybody. But every time we talk about something or we try to think out of the box or we come up with a new vision or we're going to try something new, what do we first talk about? Change. Why we can't do it. Why we shouldn't do it. What obstacles are there? Who's going to do it? Who, what, when, where, how? Where's the money coming from? Friends, if that's a calling, why are you trying to restrict God's call? When someone says, can you help me do this? Or can you volunteer for this? Or, you know, Wade stood up this morning and said, hey, we're going to have a work day. Hope to see every face in this congregation this morning on work day. Probably won't have a job for you, but at least you showed up. Don't restrict yourselves. Don't tell yourself because you can't understand what God's trying to tell you. Don't restrict yourself. Don't put yourself inside of your understanding. Give it to the Lord first and let Him worry about understanding. He's the one calling you. You know, Paul shared a prayer in this passage in the very end. And he said, he asked in this prayer that his friends would be deeply anchored and strengthened in God's love. Well, we've proven that God's love is immeasurable. We can't see it. We can't put our arms around it. It's that big. It's universal. Anchored in that. You know, I thought about this statement in this passage this morning when Brian and I were discussing and Wade last night about putting up the cross. We talked about putting it in concrete so the bear can't push it down anymore. And so the wind can't move it and all this. We talked about how much concrete we probably should be, how big a hole should be to hold this big heavy cross out back. And I thought, well, you know, there isn't but so much concrete we can mix and put in the hole. We can make the hole as big as it wants. But we just got to have the faith that whatever we do out there, bear or no bear, whatever we do out there, it's going to be anchored in this message this morning. It's going to be anchored in the love of God. And let's just roll with that. Let's just do our standard stuff and let's just roll with that and have faith and trust that God's going to make sure that thing stands up. And on Easter morning, when we get there, we'll all know whether our faith's good enough or not. He also says in that prayer, what we talked to the children about, he also says that God's love and your experience in God's love is so important that He wants it, He desires it, but you're not going to understand it. So don't worry about understanding. So let me put it to you another way. Let me try to break that down real quick in another analogy. If I told you this morning, when you leave these doors and you go out in the parking lot, that you get in your car, when you hit that switch on your car key, your fuel gauge is going to go to full. And that's where it's going to stay. Because God's going to fill your tank. And He's already paid for it. He paid for it on the cross. It's not going to go off of full anymore. If I told you that, you believed it, and when you went out there, your fuel tank was full, and you drove home, it stayed full. You drove to work tomorrow, it stayed full, and you thought, hey, this thing's going to work. How much more would you drive your car if you knew you never had to put another drop of gas in? How much more would you drive it? Where would you take it? Who would you serve with it? What would you do? You'd drive it more. You'd go different places. And you wouldn't worry about filling that thing up. You wouldn't worry about the cost of fuel, would you? Nope. That's the limitations you put on yourselves. That's the limitations you put on service to Christ. We put other things in front of God. And God has an unlimited supply of love and grace and mercy that He wants to share with the world. And it requires you and I to do it. And in our conversation and in our action, there should be no limitations. Friends, the triune God is immeasurable. His power, glory, and grace are beyond our human understanding. Thus, I want you to take Christ up on the offer to serve Him through Him. I want you to take Christ up on the offer to serve Him through His understanding, not your own. Today, leave your restrictor plates in the shop. They're done. Run the race of life in faith and in trust in God's boundless love. It's not your responsibility. It's not our responsibility to believe in Him, serve Him, but harness Him. That's not our job. Our job is to believe in Him, serve Him, and release Him to the world and to each other in our conversations, in our actions, and in our work here in this church. You see, you can go to that reservoir for the rest of your life. I can go to it beside you. Everybody in this congregation can go to it. You can hook a hose to it. You can hook a fire truck to it. You can put buckets in there. You can take cups. You can take aircraft and try to empty that reservoir, and you're not going to get it done. It's immeasurable. That's grace and love and mercy and hope. It's our job to try to empty it, knowing we'll never succeed. But we will succeed in loving Christ as He has loved us. It's not our responsibility to harness this. It's our responsibility to release it and share it at His will, not ours. It's immeasurable. You're blessed with it. Use every drop. Amen.